Inside a dark, gloomy castle, an intrepid band of explorers come across a ghastly sight.
What you see most immediately is a nest of ghouls scrabbling over grisly remains of some previous adventurer.
The scene gets uglier as the bloodthirsty ghouls attack the group. The explorers' real-life counterparts, between swigs of soda and the occasional bathroom break, roll multi-sided dice to wound the creatures or protect themselves from special attacks. 36-year-old speech therapist Tom Peterson has his fighter character thrust an enchanted dagger at one of the monsters.
Yeah, I got him. 10 points.
You shove your arm through the ghoul, smearing its remains up and down your flesh. Make a saving throw versus paralyzation.
Oh, that's lovely.
At the head of a table littered with paper, dice, and soda cans, 39-year-old Tristan Brandhorst narrates the adventure for his friends. By day, Brandhorst is a mild-mannered vaccine researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But every few weeks, he's a dungeon master who runs adventures. Brandhorst and Peterson have played for more than 20 years, a hefty investment of time and more.
I think I probably spent $800 in modules, accessories, gaming devices.
Probably at least $10,000, but I'm a game collector.
Such dedication still astounds D&D's creators. A few hours away in Lake Geneva, Gary Gygax recalls publishing the first rule books in 1974 with Dave Arneson. Gygax says they never predicted a peak following of 8 million gamers worldwide.
We were sure there was an audience of somewhere around 50,000 people. We underestimated just a little, but it was certainly a labor of love driven by great enthusiasm.
Gygax and Arneson formed a company called Tactical Studies and Rules, or TSR, to make and distribute the game. By the mid-1980s, Dungeons & Dragons' popularity soared, with annual sales between $20 to $30 million. A cartoon was even based on the game.
You will go to the Swamp of Sorrow and find the young ones. If they locate Lukian, he may tell them the secret of the dragon.
Some ventures weren't so savvy, including TSR's purchase of a Needlepoint company and issuing a line of sandwich meats based on D&D. If TSR's 300 employees couldn't stomach orc salami, the company's upheavals weren't any easier to digest.
We went through at least 4 changes of management that I can remember. I went through 2 or 3 layoffs. We didn't know if we were going to be able to come to work the next day because rumors were that the doors were going to be locked.
Margaret Weiss is a former TSR editor and author for the Dragonlance book series. She says bad business decisions and corporate excess landed TSR nearly $27 million worth of debt by 1997. Gygax had long left the company, selling his ownership after bailing it out of an earlier scrape. Weiss says TSR made a saving throw against bankruptcy in the 11th hour.
When Peter Atkinson bought the company, Peter did it for love of the game. The company was not worth what he paid for it. I've just always felt the greatest respect and affection for Peter ever since.
Just paying off their debt was more expensive than, you know, than buying the company.
Peter Atkinson was then CEO of Wizards of the Coast, a Seattle-based maker of fantasy games. It bought TSR for roughly $30 million. Atkinson says 30 years ago, when the game was designed, it drew on the popularity of characters from J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy. That universe helped shape the game, but D&D built an entirely new market for itself.
Throughout the entire span of time D&D has been around, society as a whole has grown comfortable with fantasy. In the early days of D&D, parents were understandably cautious. Now it is, 20, 30 years later, fantasy is just a fact of life.
No, shut up, Pops! Get out!
Atkinson adds the Lord of the Rings films have boosted D&D sales, and the fantasy marketplace is more diverse, with Magic the Gathering cards and the Baldur's Gate computer game feeding gamers' tastes. Dale Slavicek directs game design for Wizards of the Coast. He says D&D is still going strong.
We have 4 million active players, sales over 3 million units. You can find the game in Germany, France, Japan. I've seen it in Hebrew for Israel. The game has got expressions in many, many forms, from role-playing to board games to card games to novels to computer games.
But not everything's back to the former glory days. Michael Reeves is a writer who worked on the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, which stopped production short of its final episode in 1986. Reeves says it's hard to get such shows on the air these days, given budget restrictions and competition from the overseas animation market.
Now that said, I will say that Dungeons & Dragons was one of the very few shows that I actually was sorry to see go. I really enjoyed writing for it. I missed those characters. There are
two creatures. Still, Dungeons & Dragons following is robust. Tomorrow, millions of gamers will pop open soda cans and ready their dice for fateful encounters with giants, vampires, and ogres. Few know of D&D's own harrowing adventures, and for the game's publishers, that's probably something else best left to the imagination. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The intellect devourer dissolves into a unpleasant goo there on the stable floor, and small fires burn throughout the room from your dramatic elemental release.